did say, I think, earlier on that you played the guitar. Did you ever do it professionally?
No, I used to play parties and things like that, and I did play once on the ship coming home from abroad on a stage with other chaps, but that was more or less for the soldiers' entertainment. It wasn't broadcast for the public people, it was just the people on the ship. We played in a band, you know.
So what was you doing on the ship then?
Oh, I was just coming back from the Far East after the war. That's what I was doing on the ship. That's what I was doing on the ship. Mm. It was returning back to England, to the UK. I was in the out in the Far East with the Burma.
What branch of the services were you in?
The REME, Royal Electrical Mechanical Engineer. And there was all technical people. I didn't do any combat. I just had the I was a soldier like the rest of them in the jungles and wore all the jungle clothes. And but our job was different. We had to get all the battle damaged war bits of war material back, mend it, and take it back again. And this is what our job was. So it was quite a long lot of work to do.
So you saw quite a lot of the Far East. I mean, how traumatic was it for you? Was this during the war? Was it
traumatic? It wasn't nice at all. I didn't like the Far East. I didn't like it was the wilderness. It was. You didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what to expect. There was jungles and deserts and mountains and things like that. And it was a bit frightening to me. I wasn't used to that. I was all right in Europe when I was in the European theatre, but I didn't like the Far East, no, I didn't like it. And it's just, the worst of all was the ship going out on the troop ship when they, the authorities on the ship, as soon as it left England, or Scotland we left from, it warned everybody to keep fully clothed, and they told everybody they got to sleep fully clothed in their uniform, wear their life jacket, and have their light on their lapel, and their water bottle, and their bar of chocolate or whatever it is they gave us. We've got to keep on. We've got to sleep like that all night for 3 nights. Right. So, and we were right at the bottom of the ship. I was a bit frightened, but when we got the other side, it brought it all eased up. They took all the restrictions off, and we was all right then, you know. So it was a bit frightening first because you kept expecting to be sunk.
All right.
You see, I did anyway. I got the imagination was running rife.
Yeah.
When you get out like that, yeah. No, I didn't like that. But that band playing, what I'm saying, was when we came home, not when we went.
You wasn't in ENSA, were you? ENSA?
Yeah, there was ENSA about, yes. They used to travel round all over the world, wherever the theatres of war were, ENSA did. And a remarkable thing happened there, because I was right out in the world in India this time, near Calcutta, and they fixed up a stage. I think the Americans who'd been there, they'd fix up anything. They'd ice cream, soda fountains, and then they'd move on and leave it. And they fixed up a stage with all the lights on it, with on the generators, and then the ENSA came to entertain us. And what we did, we just sat on the ground. And I looked at these girls, I looked at one of these girls, and I thought, I'm sure I know that girl. And when it finished and they were packing up, we walked over to the stage, and sure enough, it was a girl who lived on Canby Island. She went around neighbours.
Really?
Yes. And of course, all the boys were looking at me and putting their thumbs up. And I said, well, I know the girl. She just one of our neighbours from the next street. But would you believe it? I mean, you wouldn't think of that, would you? That these entertainers. And she went out there. We used to go all over the world with a troupe. With a troupe of dancers and singers.
But you didn't actually, you wasn't a part of ENSA yourself.
No, I wasn't a part of ENSA. No, 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 no. My entertainment was just more or less with the lads. You know, we used to play. I played on the cinema once with the lads in Newmarket. I think somebody had an accordion and a saxophone, and I think we just made a row. That was a bit of a noise. But it was all right for the lads. They didn't care much, you know. They sent a dance with it all, and yes, it was all right. It's good. It's good days. I always thought they were good days because you had the age to go with it, up to 40 years. I mean, I was in my 20s then, but up to 40, you accepted. After that, you're no longer a teenager, are you?
Not really, no. Yeah. Let's bring you back home again then and talk about Canvey Island, because you must have seen a good many changes on the island since you've lived there.
Well, yes, there was the electric. When the electric was put on, it took a long, long time. First thing they did was to put street lamps in along the street. But they didn't light up. There was no electric supply from the mainland, but they got all the lights going in the street. And then we were told that they were going to be switched on at a certain hour on a certain date. And so all us lads, we all gathered round our favourite lamppost, waiting for the lights to be switched on. And it was in the darkness, and suddenly they all came on all the way down the street, and it was really something that was, and everybody cheered. that just an ordinary bulb in a street lamp. It was very primitive, it was in there, but we never had any lights on there.
You know? Did you get the electricity before you got the water supplies?
No, I believe we got the water first. The gas came third, which was another bit of a comedy, because you see, we lived in rented property, and when they fixed the gas under the ground, they'd go round, gas men would go round the different houses checking where they could fit the gas in, and we had one coming round to our place, and he wanted to check the loft, and he took his shoes off and left them in the passage and climbed up through the loft. And my father came out of the bedroom and picked his shoes up. He's gone into the kitchen, had a cup of tea, put the shoes on, and he's gone to play darts down the club. And my mother discovered, when the gas man came down, he was looking for his shoes. And she whispered to me, she said, "Get on your bike and go down the club. Tell your father he's walking around the gas man's shoes." So that's what I did. And he came back, he apologised profusely to the gas man. He said, "I thought my wife bought a pair of shoes from one of the relatives. I didn't know they were yours." And he was waiting for him to put his shoes on. And of course, that was one of the funniest things of the year, that was, the gas man's shoes, yeah.
Perhaps you should write a book about that, the gas man's shoes.
Yeah, that's right, the gas man's shoes. Yeah, and